All right, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Esther chapter 9. We've gotten started a little bit late the last two Sundays, but that's okay. And today we're actually going to do a little bit more of a detail today and next week on the Feast of Purim. The remainder of Esther chapter 9, verses 20 through 32, is an explanation of the Feast of Purim, and just for an overview, and then we'll get into the details in a minute. Mordecai institutes the Feast of Purim to be observed on the 14th and 15th in the month of Adar every year to commemorate and celebrate the deliverance of the Jews over Haman and their adversaries. And that's recorded in verses 20 through 22. And then in verses 23 through 25, you have the history of their deliverance recorded. To this day, the Jews gather and read the book of Esther during the Feast of Purim. And when they do, and the name of Haman is mentioned, they cry out in unison, "Let his name be blotted out. The name of the wicked shall rot." I like that twist there. One rabbi declared that if all but one of the feasts were forgotten, let it be all but Purim, since that is the one of their greatest times of rejoicing. It is a feast of celebration. Then verses 26 through 28 tell us how the Feast of Purim came by its name. The name Purim came from the word pure, which means lot. Haman had by lot determined the time of the Jews' destruction in chapter 3. And it's designed to remind the Jews how God had delivered them from their enemies. And then in verses 29 through 32, Esther confirms and signs the decree that the Feast of Purim should be celebrated. Now, that's just an overview. I want to get more in detail. We'll read verse 20 through 23. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th month of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them. Now, this passage deals with Purim. It was a Jewish feast of celebration and praise for their deliverance and also the way that God had prospered them. And now, this is a Jewish feast. Christians don't celebrate it. But, in fact, really, when you get right down to it, the only special day that believers have set apart is that of the Lord's Day. That is a special day that God has set apart. And it's a celebration. When you get right down to it, every Lord's Day we are commemorating the fact that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead. And we are hallowing this day. I personally believe that everybody that is in Christ is resting in Him, so that every day for a believer is a Sabbath of rest, in the sense that we are resting completely in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's why I consider Sunday as the Lord's Day. That's the way it was described in the New Testament. And I am glad that we hallow that day, that we set it apart specifically for worship and praise of our God. Now, the celebration of Purim is in verse 20 through 23. And it deals with the initial celebration and the Jews' commitment to the feast. Now, the first thing you'll see in verse 20 is the decree that Mordecai was commissioned. He was permitted and commissioned by King Ahasuerus to send forth this decree about the Feast of Purim. And we find that he sent letters throughout each of the provinces within the Persian Empire. There were 127. And informing the Jews of this celebration and this Feast of Purim that they were to keep annually in remembrance of the great deliverance that God had brought about. And again, this is one of the most miraculous things in human history. I mean, you do not underestimate the value, the importance of the fact that the Jewish race was saved from extermination during this time, because that is what Haman's plan, his plot, his desire was to do. He's just like the devil. He's just like people today that want to do away with the Jew and kill the Jew and blame everything on the Jew. It's satanic. Now, Mordecai, in verse 21, set the annual dates for the feast. Every year, the 14th and 15th day of the month Adar, they were going to celebrate the Feast of Purim. And they continue to this day to celebrate those 2 days annually. And it's usually within our month of March. Now, again, the point, they have special days on their calendar. They have the Passover. They have the Feast of Purim, the Feast of Tabernacles, things like that. Christians basically have the Lord's Day. And on certain Lord's Day that are set for God's people within the New Testament church, we also celebrate the Lord's Supper. So those would be special days for Christians. I never have been big on the winter solstice celebration, the Mass, Christ Mass. I'm not a Catholic. That day was really borrowed from heathen culture, so we don't make a big deal of that. Same thing with Easter. We don't make big deals of those things. A lot of that is borrowed from heathen culture. Now, I say that with this caveat. I don't get all ruffled and hot under the collar. I've been with some preachers during the month of December, and they are so miserable. They almost get hateful about it, you know. And, I'm not going to allow that month and what the world may be doing to rob me of the joy that I have in Jesus Christ. And if people are already at least saying the name of Christ, I'll take that. I'm glad of that. And I even like a lot of the hymns. They glorify God when you read the old hymns relating to the first advent of Jesus Christ. So I'm not afraid of that. Okay, I don't get miserable and bitter during that month. Now, the deliverance in verse 22, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning unto a good day, This Purim was set aside to celebrate their deliverance from those who sought their death and the rest that they enjoyed following their victory. And I have to believe that that very first celebration must have been just so exuberant. And they must have had such a sense of relief. Can you imagine thinking about this day that had been set apart by this heathen king decreed and sent forth in 127 provinces? You have license to kill Jews this day, to exterminate them. All right? To have that hanging over your head, and then to also hear, hey, there's been a disclaimer to that decree. There's another decree. We hung Haman for his wickedness. And that day the Jews are going to be able to defend themselves, which God enabled them to do. So all of that turmoil, all of that the worry, the fretting, the not knowing what was going to happen, that's all been taken care of. And I think of the way that we ought to celebrate every day in Christ. I no longer have the condemnation of the law hanging over my head. I deserve to be damned for all eternity because of the condemnation of the law. I was under that condemnation in my Adamic, natural, carnal, fleshly condition. And Jesus Christ changed all of it. The power of the Holy Spirit calling me out of darkness into His marvelous light. God changed all that. So really, you and I, on our very worst day, we should still be able to celebrate the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. I've had some bad days in my life, in my Christian life. I mean really down low days. And one of the things that helps me to get through is to remember my sins have been put away. I am redeemed. God has loved me with an everlasting love and promised never to leave me nor forsake me. His Spirit dwells in me. I have the hope of heaven. No matter what circumstances may be swirling around me, I'm saved. I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I can say I am accepted in the Beloved. I'm complete in Him. So even on my worst day, I can rejoice. And I often, when I do have bad days, I think about how bad things must have been for the Jews when they were in captivity, when they had this threat of being exterminated. Those were some bad days. And God rescued them. God delivered them. God helped them. His presence was abiding with them. And I take great comfort in knowing that whatever circumstance comes into my life, Jesus Christ is in me of a truth. And my hope is in Him and it's secure. Well, the deliverance is described in verse 22. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies in the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy and from mourning into a good day. I love that phrase. It's something that you ought to be able to say to people that are saved, man, have a good day. You know, a lot of times when people ask me, how am I doing? You know, because That's one way you can witness to people. You can even initiate, how are you doing today? They'll say, oh, I'm doing pretty good. How about you? I'm having a good day. I'm saved. I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus. Or sometimes I'll say, much better than I deserve by the grace of God. I've been saved by the grace of God. I don't know whether that ever clicks in their mind, but it's a way that you could actually witness to somebody every single day about the grace of God, because really it is a good day. Purim was set aside to celebrate their deliverance from those who sought their death, and the rest they enjoyed following their victory, and it served to remind them of their sorrow and mourning be turned unto joy and celebration of a good day. What seemed like was hopeless, God had provided deliverance. And again, this is something you and I, we can make application by way of our salvation and the deliverance that we have experienced in Christ and continue to experience. And then they devoted that day that they should make them days of feasting and joy and of sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. And in verse 23, the Jews undertook to do as they had begun and as Mordecai had written unto them. And he decreed Purim to be the days of feasting and joy, a time of sending gifts one to another to those who were less fortunate, and it was a celebration for every Jew. And he wanted to ensure all had the ability to celebrate. And when the Jews heard the decree, they devoted themselves to obeying the decree and celebrating the feast. So we'll stop there and we'll get on to what they were to reflect upon during the Feast of Purim next week, God willing.